Normally before we practice together, I'll take the opportunity to give a short talk on the Buddha's teaching. It's important to have this sort of background on the Buddha's teaching before we start to practice. Because it's easy to say that we're practicing, or easy to go off and say that you're practicing, but in the Buddha's teaching we have what is right practice and what is called wrong practice. So it's important that we always have this intellectual understanding first of what is the right path and what is the wrong path, so that when we do set out to practice, we can make sure that we are practicing on the right path and we don't fall off onto the wrong path. If we do get lost on the set out on the wrong path, we'll be able to correct ourselves based on our understanding on an intellectual level. So what I thought I would talk about today is a reason or reasons why we should practice meditation. Reasons why we should undertake the practice of the Buddha's teaching. And the best reason, a reason which is most often given, is that on the road ahead of us, there is great danger. Well, we are faced with great danger in our individual futures. Each and every one of us has danger which we have to face until we can become safe and free from danger. And so the differentiation between people is that some people see this danger and some people don't see the danger. So before we continue on with our lives, it's important that we understand the dangers which we are facing so that we can undertake to clear up or to free ourselves from these dangers. And the way we do this, of course, is by practicing to purify our minds and to remove from our minds all sorts of unwholesome, unskillful tendencies or mind states. So the Lord Buddha's teaching on danger, we have a great number of dangers ahead of us, and it's important to get an understanding of these before we start practicing or before we continue on with our lives. And this gives us a good reason to live our lives in a very careful, in a very skillful or wholesome way. Because when we fall onto the wrong path, then these dangers come and turn into suffering for us. The first dangers we have, the danger of birth, the danger of old age, the danger of sickness, and the danger of death. This is the first set of dangers which we have ahead of us. But in this lifetime, there's no birth ahead of us. We've already met with birth. It's no longer a danger, it's now a reality. We have been born. And because of our birth, we have to face with all sorts of suffering and discomfort, which comes along with being human, which comes along with being born. But the dangers we still have ahead of us are old age, sickness, and death. And these are dangers which, in this lifetime, we cannot avoid. But they are a danger for us in that if they catch us unaware or unprepared, then there's a great danger that we will suffer and become in great stress because of these things. So if we get old and we're not prepared for old age, we're not prepared to be old and bent and aching and with all sorts of ailments which come along with being old, having a poor memory, having rotting teeth and so on, false teeth, a bent back, arthritis, and all the many ailments which come along with being old. If we're not prepared for these things, if we don't have a mind which is well trained and able to deal with such uncomfortable, undesirable circumstances, then this could be a great danger to us. This could be something which could cause great suffering. So it's a danger which, even in this lifetime, can be avoided, the danger of suffering because of old age, or suffering because of sickness. If we're not ready for cancer and then we happen to fall under the fall victim to cancer, or if we have a diabetes or any sort of heart disease or old sickness which comes from old age and so on, all sorts of cold and flu and fever and viruses of all sorts, then whenever these things come, they will bring us great suffering. And if we're not ready for death, then when death comes, of course, death will bring us great stress and suffering. If we're not ready to leave, if we're afraid of death, if we are not able to come to terms with the state of, or the act of dying, then this could be something which could bring great suffering to us. And often the danger in all of these things doesn't come from any sort of greed or attachment. It simply comes from not understanding these things. For instance, not understanding death, not knowing what to expect, not knowing what's happening, not being able to come to grips with what's happening at the time of death. And so when we die afraid, we die confused, simply because we are not able to process the phenomena which are coming into our minds. We're not able to deal with the impermanence, with something new. This is something unusual, something out of the ordinary. In the practice of meditation, we come to break everything down into its ultimate experience. When we say rising, falling, or when we have pain, when we say pain, or thinking, or afraid, or angry, or upset, or confused. When we break things down into their ultimate reality, then what, in the end, anything which arises, no matter how strange or abnormal it may be, it comes to be very normal and very ordinary, and very easy to deal with. So at the time of dying, there are still the same familiar phenomena. At the time of sickness, there's the same pain, aching. When we don't let these things become conceptual, like I have cancer or I am dying, when we keep it at an ultimate level of ultimate reality, there is pain, there is fear, there is anger, there is upset, there is worry, and so on. And we simply say to ourselves, worried, afraid. Then we don't get caught off guard by what seems to be something new, which seems to be something unordinary, extraordinary. So this is the first good reason to practice meditation, is because of the danger that is inherent in these things. And of course, if we don't practice and we happen to be born again, well, we could be born again exactly the way we are, or we could be born again in a state of greater suffering, in a place where food is scarce, luxury is non-existent. We could be reborn as an animal, we could be reborn as a ghost, we could be reborn in hell. who could be reborn any number of places. And so this is the danger of rebirth. And of course the danger of old age, sickness and death which would follow. So we're in danger of this. We're in danger of being born again and again and again and again. When we die, if our minds are not clear, we're in danger of getting stuck back into the same old set of suffering, set of dangers, or even worse, depending on our state of mind. But if we train our minds and purify our minds, then at the moment when we die, we may not even have to be born again. And if we are born again, we'll be born in a pure place according to our state of mind when we die. So this is the first set of dangers which we can avoid through the practice of meditation. Another set of dangers is dangers which are existent in this very life, in our everyday life, and this is the danger of self of blame that comes from self. And so atanuvadhapai, the danger of rebuking ourselves or blaming ourselves. So the danger of feeling guilty for bad things which we have done. And then paranuvadhapai, the danger of other people blaming us. The danger of receiving blame from other people. And then tantapai, the danger of punishment. And tukatipai, the danger of rebirth in a bad state. This is another set of four dangers which are ahead of us. So the danger of feeling guilty or blaming ourselves, this is ever present. Whenever we do bad things, there's always the guilt which follows. If we're a good person, we'll feel guilty. If we're a really evil, depraved person, we might not even be able to feel guilty. But it will still make us sink deeper and deeper and dirty and defile our minds further and further and cause great mental suffering. At the least, we feel afraid all the time. When we've done bad things, we feel afraid of blame from other people. But most ordinary people, they will also feel blame. They'll feel guilty themselves. And this is a danger in our future, because we're not perfect and we haven't cleaned our mind of bad tendencies. So we might still have the opportunity to get angry or upset at someone else and feel guilty and upset when we do so. This is a danger which is ahead of us. And the danger of receiving blame from other people, of course, this is equally, if not more, common. It's so easy to blame other people, and we find that everyone around us will take the time to blame us for the bad things we do. Sometimes even when we don't do anything bad and they perceive it as bad, this is a danger that other people will blame us. And if we're not ready and if we're not able to deal with this in a calm and rational way, we might get angry and upset. We might feel great suffering when other people blame us for bad things we've done or things which they perceive to be bad. It can be the same for ourselves. We can blame ourselves for things which were not our fault. And if our minds are not well trained, we will do so. We will blame ourselves for things which were innocent, for innocent deeds. So this is a reason to train our minds so that we will not have to blame ourselves, and we will not blame ourselves for things which we didn't do. And we will not do bad things for which we could be truly blameworthy. Then there's the punishment in this life, which is legal punishment or punishment from other people when we do bad things, and they might inflict punishment. Our parents, our spouses, our friends, the police, the country, and so on. Even to the point of other countries when they're going to war with us. This is a real danger we can even receive punishment for things we never did. This is a real danger. And if we're not ready to deal with with punishment, we might be upset and angry and sad and depressed by these things. And the fourth one is the punishment in the next life. When we die and our minds are full of anger or full of greed or full of confusion, we'll go to a place of suffering. We could go to be born in hell, we could be born as an animal, we could be born as a ghost. We're born in this life because our mind is like this. If our mind becomes full of anger or hatred, we would be born in a place of anger and hatred in hell. If we have greed, we'll be born as a ghost. If we have delusion, we'll be born as an animal. If these things are very strong, we'll be born in suffering states of existence. And this is a real danger in our future. If we still have these states of mind arising, then it could be a real cause for us to go to these places. This is the second set of four. The third set is a set of metaphors having to do with the ocean. And in the when we're on the ocean, when we're sailing on a ship in the ocean, there are four dangers. Or suppose we're on a raft in the river or in the ocean, and we're trying to reach the shore. Well, there are four dangers which might stop us from reaching the shore. And the first one is the waves. And the second one is crocodiles. The third one is whirlpools. And the fourth one is sharks. These are four dangers on the ocean. So these four are also dangers stopping us from reaching our goal, from reaching our goal of peace and happiness and freedom from suffering. The first one, waves, is they're called the eight worldly dhammas, the eight worldly attachments, you could say, or eight things which we get caught up in. They're worldly things. So when we come to practice, we try to leave behind worldly things. Vinaya loke abhijja dhammanasang. We try to do away with our attachment and our aversion to worldly things. But if we get caught up in them again, they can lead us down or lead us away from our goal. And these are fame, praise, gain, and happiness. When we have fame, or many people know us, know who we are, we can get caught up in this. And when we are praised, when people say good things about us, we can become caught up in this and become lazy as a result. When we have gain, when we have lots of wealth, we can become complacent and we don't think about following the path. Or when we have happiness, when our lives are happy and comfortable and we don't right now have any states of suffering arising. But the Lord Buddha said these are like a wave, because there are four other dhammas which follow after them. Wave means they could be swept away at any time. They could sweep you away at any time. So fame also has being infamous as its opposite, or being unknown. Sometimes nobody will know who we are. Everyone will forget about us. And then we will feel upset. We get caught up in the waves of samsara, the waves of the world. Sometimes people will blame us. They will say bad things about us. Sometimes we might lose our belongings. We might even lose everything that we own. And if we have happiness, then for sure there will be sometimes where we will have unhappiness. So Lord Buddha said, these eight things we are never sure. They're like a wave. They can sweep us away or be swept away at any time. This is one danger on the path. Another danger is the crocodiles, and this is getting lazy or getting indolent. Thinking only about our, as they say in Thai, thinking only about our mouth and about our stomach. When we aren't able to deal with difficulty, we aren't able to deal with hardship. So when we come to a meditation center and we aren't able to stay in a simple dwelling, we aren't able to deal with simple accommodations, we aren't able to deal with hard floors or poor weather or little food or strange food, we aren't able to deal with hardships. If we're going to truly be free from suffering, we have to learn to let go of our attachment to comfort, our attachment to luxury. So sometimes it can be a good thing when we have to endure these hardships. We should be very patient and endure, even if we happen to not eat, to not have any food, then we should, if there is no possibility to get food, we should be able to stay calm and stay at peace with that. But of course here we have food every day and there's no need to go without food. It also doesn't help us to go without food, so we do eat. But we have to be able to deal with hardship and any painful feelings which might arise when we practice. We shouldn't try to avoid these things. This is like a crocodile, something which is a danger which will eat us up inside. If we are always thinking about comfort and luxury. The third one is whirlpools. And the whirlpool is our objects of desire. And this has to do with romance or lust or thoughts of sexuality, thoughts of the opposite gender or thoughts of someone, the object of our desire. And this is like a whirlpool, something which drags us down. So if we aren't able to dispel these thoughts, they can drag us down. Right now we're practicing the holy life, the brahmacharya, means celibacy. And this is something very high, it's called the brahmacharya, the life of Brahma, the life of God. Because God, of course, is celibate. So we're following after the life of God. And when we start to fall back into these thoughts of sensuality, thoughts of sexuality, this is like a whirlpool which drags us down. And we lose our holy life, our holiness. And the fourth danger in the final of all the dangers is the shark. And the shark is all other pleasant phenomena which may arise. So apart from other people or the objects of our desire, these can be objects of desire as for food or pleasant sights or pleasant sounds or pleasant smells. And when these things arise, some meditators might get intoxicated or caught up in these. When we see bright colors or lights, this can be a danger to our practice. And when we smell smells or when we hear sounds, this can be a danger. When we hear music and we get caught up by the music, or when we taste the food and we enjoy the food and we forget to be mindful, tasting, we can become obsessed with the taste and always be thinking about it. And we find it very difficult for us to concentrate. This is the fourth danger on the ocean. So these four are a danger on the practice, on the path. And these we have to be aware of if we're going to follow the path. And of course, we follow the path to overcome all danger. And this teaching on danger is to help us to become one that the Lord Buddha called one who sees the danger in samsara. Sees the danger in being old, getting sick and dying again and again and again. Sees the danger in simply living our lives without having trained ourselves. And this makes us what the Lord Buddha called a bhikkhu. A bhikkhu is a word which was used for a monk or for someone who begged for food. But of course, in Buddhism, the monks don't beg for food. But the word bhikkhu here means saṃsāre bhayaṃ ikati, one who sees the danger in samsara. So this teaching is given for the purposes of helping the meditators see the danger and not be caught off guard by the dangers of samsara, the dangers which exist in the world around us. And that's the teaching that I wish to give on this day. So now we'll continue with mindful prostration, walking and sitting all together until 2 o'clock.